Well, let's go now to the European Union. The man who covers that for us is Dr. Rob Congdon. He's an author. He's a traveler all over the world. He, in addition to that, is a teacher of Bible prophecy. But he's an observer of the latest current events coming out of that part of the world. And most of what we're going to talk about today, Rob, is focused on the Middle East, but indeed in the future. Maybe we'll chat about this just a moment at the end of our conversation. But the European Union, if indeed they are, as you and I believe, the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire, will have a focus on the Middle East. The European Union has put out a report about arms to Syria. Now, we've talked about the fact they let go the embargo. That is open. They can send arms, but what are they going to send? How are they going to send it? And are they really going to send it? Give us some thoughts.
Well, certainly the EU is concerned economically. And remember, they're under a lot of economic pressure to increase exports. And so I'm certain that many of their companies that could deal with that, particularly their defense, air defense type and air industry, strong industries in Britain in particular, but also in France, and they want to get involved. And this is the opportunity. Once they allowed individual states to get involved, the EU has to support that decision and say, it's fine, let's see what we can do. The interesting thing was, always remember, the European Union is split over which side of the issue it is, whether it's with the Assad and his current Syrian government or if it's with the rebel groups that are trying to overthrow him. So they're in a bit of a spot, but obviously, like historically we see many times, there's money to be made and people can compromise principles over money.
Well, even those who are going to stand with the opposition against Bashar Assad, they still have questions as well as to whether they should send arms into the opposition because of the makeup, the Duke's mixture of some radical Islamic elements in that opposition.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's the big uncertainty, is who really is going to be the one that will come at the top if the rebels succeed, and really, what is the history of these groups? Even a superficial look at them gives a little bit of concern and fear about where their background is and who's behind them. So the Europeans always want peace. They want peace in the Middle East. So I'm sure before there's actually a sale and a shipment, there's going to be a little more caution, especially in terms of the rebels. And Assad is something they know, and so that's a little less uncertainty, and that may weigh into what is sold and where it's sold.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's a term in Bible prophecy that is times of the Gentiles, and that is a time when Gentiles control the Jewish people and also the city of Jerusalem. The Council of Europe, and I need you to remind us what the Council is as it relates to the Parliament and the Commission, but the Council of Europe has made a statement. They've told the Jewish settlers to stop construction. I don't know where they think they get the authority to be the zoning directors for the area called Judea and Samaria, a piece of real estate God promised to the Jewish people, and to tell them to stop construction. This looks like they're overplaying their hand to me. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting. My thoughts when I read the article and started picking up on the news of it is two things very interesting. One is, just like you, what gives them the right to do this? Why are they speaking on the issue? But the second issue is, and this is really, I think, the significance of the whole thing, the Council of Europe is a quiet group. It represents 47 countries. Now, that's 20 more than the European Union. The Council of Europe has the United States is given what is called observer status. So let me clarify what this really means. When the European Union was going to be formed, the predecessor was called the Council of Europe. It is what began after the World War II. It was the goal of uniting a global government, if you will, to govern Europe, united Europe, to bring peace and prosperity to the world. From the Council of Europe came the European Union. Now, it's a very foggy area when you start trying to say what is the Council of Europe and what is the European Union. They are two separate groups that share the same flag, same principles, and in some cases, same budgets. The Council of Europe, though, has a very great power that the European doesn't have. Under the Council of Europe is the European Court of human rights. That's where their power is. For all purposes in Europe and actually in 47 countries of the world, they are the Supreme Court. So through legal decisions, they can enforce what they want and get it carried out in 47 countries of the world. And I point out to many people, since the United States is an observer of this council, we are supposed to abide by their decision. That would put us under their legal decision. So this statement that they want the settlement stopped, if they don't back it up through the Court of Human Rights, they don't have any power. But if they go into the Court of Human Rights, not only will 47 countries have to consider it and respond to it, the U.S. technically would have to also.
Wow, some great insight from Dr. Rob Congdon as we have our conversation updating what's happening in Europe and, in fact, in the European Union. One more thought with you, Rob. There's a Belgium lawmaker who was in a pro-Bashar Assad, he's president of Syria, a pro-Assad rally, and it's seen all over the world on the photograph that was taken of this lawmaker trampling the Israeli flag. Boy, this says volumes about maybe some of the thoughts of the lawmakers in the European Union.
Well, remember, he is a Belgium lawmaker. He's not in the EU as far as being a lawmaker there or in the parliament. He's got an interesting history, and he's just giving the standard party line that Europe is being used by Israel to go against Syria. And so while I think it's a very dramatic issue, and it does reflect certainly views that reflects those who have supported him in being electing him, it's dramatic, very visible. But a lot of people in Europe and even in Belgium do not consider this man a spokesman for them. So I think it's symbolic of a group and representative of a people and their thinking in Belgium, but they are not the majority by any means.
Well, that's really good, or otherwise we would be much concerned right now. But ultimately, Bible prophecy says this is the direction that the European Union, i.e. the revived Roman Empire, will travel down a road into the future.
Yes, absolutely, and we need to keep an eye on all of these things because they keep pointing us like roadsigns toward that future that we expect to see coming, perhaps in the near future and leading to the rapture of our Lord gathering us up.
Dr. Rob Congdon, that is an absolute truth. We will be gathered up at that shout for the rapture of the church. Rob covers the European Union and all the activities happening in that part of the world. We're so appreciative of his observing those events and then reporting them to us. Rob, thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
Always good to be with you and to looking at the news.